Hi, I'm Sherry Todd, a former DJ, now podcaster. Every week, I hope to take you on an adventure that informs, inspires, and starts conversations. I want to get honest, and I want to get to the heart of life and love. There's going to be good days, good shows, bad shows. And just like life, we have to figure it out. And I want to figure it out loud. Welcome to Sherapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Sherapy. And I have family here today. I have my nieces and my sister. Everybody knows that my mother passed away a few months ago. And I just want to talk about how we could have submersed ourselves in the sadness and the grief, but we didn't. We found humor, and it wasn't purposely, but we found the craziness and strange things that were happening, and we found humor in that, and we laughed a lot.
I was just going to start off by telling the story about her breathing and those last 30 minutes.
It wasn't funny at the time, but thinking back on it.
No, it wasn't.
That night.
Because we were just talking about it last night.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Should I tell these stories? Because I'm wondering, people may not find it funny.
No, but I think it's helpful if you're going through the grief like that. That's what helped us get through it. To be able to find the outrageous and the craziness about everything that was going on, we would just laugh about it instead of getting upset about it and angry and
not necessarily in the moment, but it was,
well, you know. It wasn't funny in the moment. It happened, and then we would relive what happened maybe the next day. It's like, well, that was really funny.
And all of our little comments, too, when we retell stories makes it even funnier, too. It's
everybody's perspective is different. Yeah.
Like,
just so you can tell the story if you want. Grandma's last breaths. You have to tell the backstory of what she used to do. Pretend to be gone.
That sounds really bad.
For context,
Grandma used to pretend she was dead a lot. No, I'm kidding. No,
well, she did. She wouldn't. Our grandma was a prankster. Yeah. She was definitely a prankster, and so she would, you know, hold her breath when we were little, and you know, play dead, if you will. And so that was always the
and
thing.
She'd wake up and scare you.
And she'd wake up and scare us. Go, yeah. Boop. So, you know, in her final moments, you know, we were all there. We were all holding her hand, and we were, you know, with her when she passed. And my mom, So my mom is sitting there, and we're listening to her breath sounds slowly decrease. And, you know, my mom goes, I think that was it, everyone. I think she's gone. And right in that moment, we hear.
just an inhale of last, breath.
This last gasp of, and all of us are kind of leaning in the moment, and we
scared the bloody crap
out
of
us. But we're all in the moment, so we're all just kind of backing up and shocked with that. I remember going, like trying not to laugh.
But we all thought, but we, in our moments, it's like, there's grandma messing with us again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that was her moment. And then, of course, you know, after the reality sets in, like, oh wow, she's gone, you know, then we all had our moment of actually grieving her death in that moment. But we've come back and we've reflected on that particular moment of that last breath, like, that was grandma. She had to get us one last time, you know, and that was just it.
Well, also, like I said, originally we called hospice to let them know, you know, that she was going. Well, hospice couldn't get there because they were stuck in traffic in LA, and she said she couldn't get there for like 45 minutes. Uh-oh. Okay, so we're here by ourselves dealing with it. And then she was supposed to get her last rites. Well, for whatever reason, I can't remember. The priest couldn't come, and
he had a wedding.
Yeah, he had a wedding to go to. That's right. So he couldn't get there till like around 5 o'clock. So the thing is, with us, we are not Catholic savvy. We know nothing about the Catholic Church. So he called. When he called at 5 o'clock, we said, "Oh, Mom's already passed. You don't need to come." To me, I thought, you do the last rites when.
Okay, wait. No, I told him to come.
No, he told me he was coming anyway.
Right. Okay.
And I just like, so he comes. to do mom's last rites after she's gone. And it
went away. There was...
He comes in. What was his father?
I don't remember his
Father
name.
Joe? I think it was like Father Joe, something like that.
Let's go with Joe.
Okay, he was Father Joe.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, he was through hospice, and he came in, and he made us all come in to the room, and we all were surrounding. We're all holding hands, and he opens up his Bible, and in the Bible...
A lottery ticket.
A lottery ticket. And we all kind of just looked at each other like... Are they allowed to have lottery tickets?
That was the lottery ticket was his place marker.
Yeah.
For the verses and that he was going to say.
So we're like, okay.
That was one thing.
Yeah, and then he's going on about. Then he says the prayer. What was the prayer? Is it like the?
It was the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so everybody's doing the Lord's Prayer except for me and Janelle. Me and Janelle are just looking at each other like, we're going to hell. Because we don't know it.
Because he's, we're following along, our Father, who art in heaven, and we're going on, and we're all holding hands, and some of us are saying it out loud, and others are just kind of looking like, real scared.
And then when they do this, what was the part where everybody chants something?
Chant?
We weren't chanting. Chanting.
Okay. It felt like we were
She went to heaven, folks. No, we...
The God-fearing woman, okay?
Yeah. She... there were parts as part of the prayer for the Catholic religion that, we had to repeat certain Our Fathers and
it did sound like a cult. To me, when I'm standing there and everybody's saying it in sync, it sounded like, in my mind, it went through my mind like, oh my God, this is a cult.
We need to pray for you.
Well, some people say the Catholic Church is
one. If you think a prayer is the sign of a cult, we need to talk.
But the way everybody said it, and it was just like in unison, like you've seen those movies, Jonestown.
It was supposed to be beautiful.
Jamestown.
Well,
Jamestown. Oh my goodness. God, we're so dark.
But you see all them repeating back, or Heil Hitler. Everybody's repeating backwards.
Oh my God.
That's what it felt like to me. I'm sorry. I was grieving. I didn't know what I was doing. And then he starts doing all of the saints. And who knew the Catholic religion had so many saints? We just know the ones like St. Michael, St. Christopher, things like that. So when he gets to St. George, he pauses, smiles, and then he says St. Jean. And I'm thinking, did he make a joke? His mom's name is George Jean. So I thought he was kind of making a joke, she's a St. George Jean, So I had to look it up. There is a St. George, there is a St. Jean. So I think he smiled because he probably got the same thing I got, St. Jean, St. George. Anyway, so before he got there, we were all discussing, do we tip him? So we had to Google it, and it's not really a tip. It's a donation to the church. So we're like, okay, we'll just sell a handle that. She's also, I got it. So he walks out, tell a story. Does he take credit?
I had cash, and so I was like, okay, no worries, I'll take care of it. So awkward. So he's we finished the prayers and everything, and
everybody's shaking hands.
He walks out. He started to walk out of the room, and he went to shake my hand. Like, I'm sorry for your loss.
And just I thought opportunity.
No.
It is.
And at the same moment, I went to hand him the cash, saying, thank you. Here's a small donation for your church. But the way it interacted, it seemed like a drug deal. Where he came and I slipped him the 20. But at one point I realized this is weird. So I started to take it
back. Like Giselle was trying to get a good chair in heaven or something. Say a good word for me, Padre.
Wink, wink. You got me?
You got me, Joe. And so
it's
yes,
Giselle, it was, G-I-S-E-L-L-E.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. God, I think God's got me. There's a book. It was so awkward. And I'm trying to hand him the money. And he's starting to take it. Then I take it back because I'm like, wait, this is a redo. This is weird. And there's people in the room. You were in the room, Jeremy and Janelle, I think. I think it was just you three in the room still. So all of you saw this, and it was just such an awkward. So I finally give him the cash, and he walks out. And then we don't talk about it until later. We don't talk about it until maybe even the next day.
And then he goes to me, goes, "Hey, Dodgers." And I'm thinking, okay, yay, Dodgers, until I realized he was reading my shirt. I'm like, good. Yeah, I think he had a little bit too much wine at the wedding, right?
Yeah.
But it was fun. And they, you know, he did the holy water stuff.
And then he did the holy water stuff. That was another thing. I don't know if anybody else felt this. At the funeral, when the priest handed the holy water, or when he was doing the holy water over grandma's urn, did anybody think, because he got some on the box, I'm like, ooh, water spots. Like, that was my first thought. When the water went on.
Better not. We paid a lot of money for that.
That's what I'm saying.
For that little box.
That's what I'm saying. So we didn't need any water spots on grandma's new urn.
So let's go to that, the whole church thing.
Ugh.
Now, you have to understand, again, we are not Catholics. And before then, you know, mom wasn't buried for like almost a month, right? Yeah. We had a lot of time to get ready. Well, part of the service was reading scriptures, or not scriptures, but
prayers.
Yeah, prayers. And we had to do three. So Giselle or Danielle did one. Our cousin Tracy did one. And then my other niece, Ashley, did one. We didn't know that it had to be in a certain order. And boy, are they a stickler about having an order. You don't break the routine. So Danielle goes up to do the first one, and he completely stops it. He goes, "No, no, no." And then Tammy's going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, no, there's going to be a fight." Karen is going to go after the priest. Well, and then he stops, and poor Danielle's standing up there like, what did I do?
Right in the middle of the prayer.
Well, yeah. I've gotten a whole list of prayers to choose from. So I chose one that I actually really liked, and I thought was like, it was good.
And on that paper, there was no order of anything.
No, it was just mom.
And we would ask like constantly about how it was supposed to go, because we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, we just didn't know. And we didn't really get any guidance a lot. I mean, I think Tammy talked to our cousin who's, you know, grew up in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But we just didn't know.
No. And she didn't say anything about any particular order either.
So he said, "Never mind, forget it, go ahead," you know, and whatever he said. And he just sit there and he shook his head. So then Tracy goes up, and, you know, again, he's kind of shaking his head. Ashley goes up, and he was just totally disgusted about that, about the whole thing. And it was like, oh, my God. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay right where you are.
A few moments later.
Welcome back to Sherpy.
Break's over. Danielle had to leave. She has a little girl who was getting tired, so so we'll pick up where we left off. So everybody did their little talk spiel, and the priest wasn't very thrilled about it. Danielle was horribly, horribly embarrassed because, you know, she's up there, she's grieving, and this is not a funny moment, but it was not necessary.
It was uncomfortable in the entire, I think everybody was uncomfortable for her, and I was particularly, I was upset. Like, just let us go through the process. Because he said something, I think, to Ashley as well.
Yeah.
When she was doing her thing. But Danielle being the first one up, it was just unnecessary more than anything.
It was all uncomfortable because he made it very obvious that we weren't Catholic.
Yeah.
And he made it very obvious he didn't know our mother.
That we were going to hell.
No, he didn't know our mother. So there was no sensitivity. It was very routine for him. And he actually knocked over her picture, which really irritated me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, we could have went to mom's church, but mom had not stopped going for so long.
Yeah.
So nobody would have known her there either.
Yeah.
None of the priests would have known her there. But
I think it's just all the little things that we saw because we were so sensitive to everything. But everybody said how wonderful it was. And
well, they're not going to tell us how awful it was. Oh, it was awful.
No.
Well, we got to go now. But
no, I'm just saying.
Your mom was a wonderful woman, but it was awful.
I had a lot of people reach out after the fact and say. But for us, it was uncomfortable.
Well, when I first got there, when I guess I had papers to sign, so they brought me into the back, and he came up to me and said, oh, you're the late sister. I'm like, late?
I called you out, whatever.
I said, late for what? I go, you haven't even started yet. I mean, this is what I was thinking, because I was looking around like, were you waiting for me? Because when I got there, people were still getting,
you know, they had asked me because we were there earlier, and I remember it wasn't the priest, it was his helper
assistant,
lady. Yeah. She had come up and she said, I'm looking for Sherry. The little elf. She was looking for Sherry. And I said, oh, she's not here yet. She's on her way. And she said, oh, okay, I have papers for her to sign. I'm like, okay, well, go ahead and keep them. And then when she gets here, I'll let her know to look for you. And then I don't know how, he wasn't even there when I told her that. So she must have said something earlier. But the whole thing, it's like just calling people out. It's just so unnecessary.
What about the organ player?
Oh, he was awful. Oh, yeah,
he was like a DJ.
Well, he, was like that, he was so off key.
It was really bad, though.
And then he came up when it came to doing the communion, and he was sitting there saying, "Non-practicing
only, basically."
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, practicing
unless you're practicing only.
Yeah. Which we were told when we first went there to make the arrangements that we were very welcome to take communion. Any of us that wanted to.
Well, I've been.
But he made it very clear.
Well, I've been to other Catholic services before where they welcome everybody to come up. Mm-hmm. I've been to weddings where they've welcomed everybody.
Well, Grandpa
to come
and
up.
Uncle Jim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he didn't like us, I don't think.
No.
And then he came up to. And then
it
he
was
gave
almost
us,
like he was bothered by being there.
And then the cross. He came over and gave me a cross. He goes, this cross is not a souvenir. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Is there a souvenir shop in here? What are you talking about? And it was a nice cross. I mean, it's a super nice.
It's beautiful.
You are to hang this on your wall so people know that this is a house of God. I'm like, okay.
He was very forceful.
So what did you think? I was going to give it to my dog and play fetch with it?
Yeah.
It was like, what? Like, I know what a
cross
is.
He was very insensitive. He was very insensitive, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It was, that was not a funny thing, but we can look back on it and bitch and complain about it.
Yeah. And we can make fun of him, and that's funny.
And then everybody, family came back to the house, and we had a ceremony where we released balloons with lights in it, and it was all biodegradable. And this is amazing to me because I don't understand how this happened. But before we did it, I tested a flight one. I blew it up, and let it go, and it just went right over the house. I'm like, okay, cool. So when it came time for us to do it, the winds had shifted and they went right towards the power lines. And the miracle thing is not one of them hit the power lines, which was amazing to me. Because I thought for sure a couple would. It was like they all missed it on purpose.
But my balloon wouldn't go up.
Well, you didn't have enough
helium.
It
fell to the ground.
But it was the same thing with Dad. Remember, you have to find humor in the things that happen. When our dad passed away, like in 98... He, according to his wife, he wanted to, his ashes buried or
spread
over Malibu. So we went to Malibu. We went to this cliff. It was a long ass hike. We went to this cliff, got to the top of it, and we're standing there and we're kind of thinking, okay, where should we throw him and everything? And all of a sudden we hear, and all of a sudden up comes a helicopter.
Like out of a movie.
Yeah, it was like, holy shit. And I felt like saying, should I run? What are we doing? What's wrong?
We all just hid the urn and we're just kind of standing there like, what else would we be doing standing there on a cliff? There's
no drug deal going on here, sir. Yep. Move along. But you know, you could tell in your Malibu. I'm sure that we were in Malibu. You could probably tell it was like some Richie's, you know.
We thought we were.
They're on their way to a set or something.
We thought it was going to be like in the movies, all spiritual and sweet and everything, where the ashes were just going to fly in the wind. No.
Flump.
All on the ground.
No.
And on us.
No, when we let it go.
It came back.
Yeah. we threw it into the air and the wind threw it back at us.
I know.
It literally went into our eyes, our mouth, everywhere. We were just standing there like, oh my God, this
Dad
is disgusting.
Dad is laughing his butt off at us right
it's
now.
It's like, this is nowhere where the ocean is. We are not the ocean. And we just
threw him in the bushes.
And we just started busting up because it was just like,
he figures. Yeah.
We were stupid. Yeah. The wind, of course, but the wind's going to blow it back.
That's the only thing you can do sometimes is just laugh.
Yeah. And here's the thing. When you have a loved one pass away, close parent, sibling, you know.
Friend, whatever.
But when you're planning the service, when you're the one that has to do the things, you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know what you're doing, you know. And with every night we played cards and, of course, tried to drink, but that didn't always work out so well.
Oh, no, we drank.
We just didn't get drunk. But we would play, and we would laugh. We would laugh just at the stupid little things and relive stupid
things.
Some
of us would pee our pants.
Oh, yes. And
laughing so hard.
And I think that's what bonded us all in that whole time. But, you know.
Well, we had to. We had to laugh because it was just an overwhelming grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the lesson is that we need to, and when there's grief, you got to find humor, because the grief could overwhelm you to where it paralyzes you.
Yep.
So if you can at least laugh during it and release some of that tension, release some of that sorrow.
But you have to be careful. I think we were able to do that, and it was only us. There were a handful of us that mm-hmm. were all together. Mm-hmm. You know, all the rest of the family wasn't around. But
if there was other family members there who didn't know this, they would probably think we're being very disrespectful.
Absolutely.
Like, they could care less about mom. They're sitting there having drinking, laughing.
Yeah.
Like it's some kind of party.
We experienced the whole thing. And, I mean, it was, 36, 48 hours we were going through it. But, you know, just us group went through it all. We bonded through that. We all were there, so when something had happened, we understood the funny in it because right. we were a part of it.
Yeah,
but
and you have to go through it with somebody.
But you can tell, you tell the stories later on. I mean, I've told some of my friends about, you know, grandma's last breath, and you know, at first they look at me like,
really?
Oh my gosh. But then they see my laughter in it, and it also, I think, helps other people be more sensitive and supportive for you, because it's, you know, they're not going to go and make jokes about grandma themselves, but they also realize that, okay, she's okay, so I can help her in other ways, or, you know, and just kind of grieve with you in a sense by laughter.
It was all part of it, and it still is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have, whenever we're together, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about it and we find those funny moments and mm-hmm. we're able to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all still going through it. There's still a lot of things going on that we're still dealing with. And if we can't find the moments of humor, you know, it would make it much more
difficult. Seems like when we all get together, it just becomes a crazy, funny, mm-hmm. different. It's just, we have fun. I don't see that a lot in other families like we do. I see people have a good time, but what we do is it's just completely different.
Yeah.
I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
How it's just, I think it's because we're just all such weird people, I guess.
Maybe. We do all have a weird sense of humor.
What about the joke you said about mom? Oh. Alexi, your niece.
My mom didn't like it very much, but
it was pretty soon.
It was too soon. It was a week or two after grandma had passed away. And Aunt Sherry, I wish you were here, because I know you would have liked it.
I would have, probably. Yeah.
So what had happened was my niece, 3 years old at the time, she's, you know, learning to use the restroom on her own. And so she was in the bathroom and she's calling for my mom. And so she's like, grandma, 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 grandma. And my mom's not responding. So eventually I go and I look around and it's just quiet. And I say, don't worry, Lexi. My grandma doesn't answer when I call her either. And my mom goes, oh, thank you.
Or should it be this one?
Oh, no. my mom goes, uh-huh. Oh. It's like you wanted to laugh, but it just kind of it got you in a minute. But I couldn't help myself in that. That was something because it just came to my mind, and I immediately said, "What?" I'm like, "Aunt Sherry will think it's funny."
I taught her well, Sherry. Well, it was funny because like last night we were talking about a bunch of different things, and or us girls, you know, there's three of us, and we all grew up in the same house, but we all have different experiences with mom.
So and we have, it's weird how we all grew up together, but we're all three so different.
Right. But our experiences with mom, like Maggie, or just even the grandkids talking about how mom would play those jokes. Mm-hmm. She didn't do that with us.
She was always mad at me making jokes on her.
No. You're just like your father.
Oh, stop. But she would say that's all she ever said to me. I would tease her all the time. The jokes that she played, well, yeah, because you are like dad. Dad was like that.
And is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
Just because you guys didn't get dad's humor. Giselle gets it.
I didn't get dad's humor.
Stay tuned for the next episode, Sibling Rivalry.
Dad just liked you better. But anyway, so it's interesting. So like when I hear the grandkids talk about stories when they were young, you know, with mom, and they just the things Maggie will say, or she, like you talking about how grandma would hold her breath and then scare you. Mm-hmm. She didn't ever do that with us, but I don't remember those things happening.
Tammy, you are doing the exact same thing that you're doing with Lexi, your granddaughter, that you would never have done with your own children. You're different when you're a grandma, you can just do whatever you want because you don't have to worry about because they're going to go home and
she plays with Lexi. She gives her hugs.
I play.
Gives her kisses. Gives her treats.
Oh my gosh.
Hugs her.
She's so warm. Sometimes I hold the baby and give mom a hug at the same time because I know that's acceptable.
Okay, but anyway, so it's interesting to find out from all of us all the differences about mom. You know, so a lot of people wouldn't get that whole thing of when she took her breath and we thought, okay.
Well, no, anytime I do tell that story, it's always like, my grandma was a jokester. Like, she was, and that's my perception of her and actually all of ours. No, I was thinking about, you know, finding humor in grief, and I was thinking about some of my friends who have lost loved ones, and although they're going through their moments and everything, and I kind of felt that the same way with grandma passing, they gave me my space. They would send messages or call or something, just thinking
awesome
about
flowers.
Yeah, yeah,
those flowers were awesome.
They're beautiful. You know, thinking of you and everything. And then I saw them, and you know, they were very, you know, fragile with me, just like I was with them when they lost their loved ones, but eventually we just left, and I did tell the story about her last breath and the pastor, and it helped make things, you build your new normal with it, mm-hmm. you know, in you, and even in the middle of crying, in the middle of all that, you know, it's just kind of a reconnection type of thing, because you break in that moment. You have to rebuild yourself. You have to find that new normal, and that humor just helps bridge that gap a little bit, and mm-hmm. and it helps people who want to be there for you. You know, with my friends, I was the butt of the joke at some points, you know, and it was one of those things. It was the first Christmas after one of my friends, her dad had passed away, and I asked her, "What do you want for Christmas?" And she just said, "You know, I want my dad back." And she's looking at me, and I just paused. I made the same face you said you're making at Sherry, eyes wide open. I'm like, and that was her way of making a joke and being funny with it, because she loves to watch me stammer. So, but again, it's that reconnection of just bridging the gap of just finding that new normal and helping other
you're
people.
Like Zimmer going, I don't know how to help you with that.
I don't know how to help you with that.
Let me give you a hug.
Yeah. I go, how about some perfume?
But I think, did you guys, like in the very beginning, like in that first few days, first week, whatever, I would always feel guilty after I laughed. Like I shouldn't be laughing.
No, I didn't feel that.
Really? Mm-mm. I guess that was just
It was comforting for me.
But once I did, I realized it was okay.
Mm-hmm. But it was a release for me.
Yeah, it was a release for me too.
Because you don't cry.
Well, still, it's just a lot. It's very stressful.
Yeah. So instead of crying.
And I do cry.
I know. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like in the first couple days.
I'm not like some stone. Yeah.
Janelle and I just kept walking around waiting for you. We're like, yeah, is it happening now? Is it happening now?
What's that one story about you guys always talk about after they took mom away?
Oh.
Yeah. So it again in that moment, but it just when you talk about it after. So they came at night and they came to take grandma from her room to the funeral home or the mortuary funeral home. And so we kind of lined up. It was me, Maggie, Aunt Janelle couldn't be there. And then mom, you were there. You were outside.
I was in my room.
You were in your room. Yeah. And they started walking out and they got grandma. They were very respectful, very nice about it. And they took her out. And mom, you were outside and you just broke down. And before I could get to you, Aunt Janelle was out there and you guys were both just having your moment, crying and being there for each other. Maggie and I were inside and just kind of waiting for you guys and there for each other as well. Both of you came in. I think at that moment you guys outside had said, let's go find
our sister. Yeah, let's go find our sister. Because we figured if we were a mess, so was she.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry. So at that moment, Aunt Sherry, you had walked out of your room, kind of going towards the kitchen.
I heard the crying. Yeah, and I was like, and I thought it was you because you hadn't really cried all day. And I thought, Giselle finally broke. Mm-hmm. So I went out there and I saw you guys hugging. And I go, is Giselle crying? And Maggie goes, it's Aunt Tammy. I went, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's when you guys walked, because I started to walk away.
They started to walk in. And right at that moment, mom goes, Sherry. And Sherry goes, what?
Totally fine.
And so then at that moment, Aunt Janelle and my mom are kind of separated. So I grab my mom and I'm hugging her. And Maggie grabs Aunt Janelle. And we're just kind of sitting there. And Aunt Sherry's just over on her own because she didn't want to be with her sisters at that moment. It was just, Sherry, it's too much. What?
Yeah, she wasn't going to get in the group hug.
And so Maggie and I are just standing there.
I had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
We don't know. You walked in a lot of circles that night.
Oh, so funny.
But we kept, for like a couple days, Janelle and I were like, Where's Sherry? We always needed to know where you were because we were afraid you were just going to go in a hole and start crying or something. But we kept, where's she? We always had to know where you were because we didn't know. We didn't know if you were going to break or not or what or get mad and break something. We didn't know. We were just waiting for you to have some kind of a reaction.
Come out with an AK-47.
Something.
God, you're so dark.
So you know how like you always watch it out for the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Janelle Knight. We're Sherry. Mm-hmm. We're Sherry. You got her? I got her. Okay.
It's crazy. But yeah. It is. I mean, yeah, you look at those moments and you just, and in that moment we weren't laughing about that whole thing. We were just it's just, again, different.
This was weeks later.
It's everybody's it's everybody's perspective in that moment of what do we need to do? And then finding the humor in that situation.
And most of it was because we didn't know what the heck to do.
Well, none of us did.
The point of all of it is it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, you were feeling guilt. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I didn't feel guilty. I felt, for me, the laughter and the being together, I felt grandma more in those moments.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't feel guilty about it. I felt like, oh, this is what she's wanted, you know? And even the night before she passed away, we were doing the same thing.
Oh, man.
We were playing cards and we were laughing and we were joking. And even though, you know, grandma's in the next room ready to pass away, I know she could hear us, and I know that's a comforting thing. Where it's like
that's all she ever wanted. Was that all she ever wanted?
Exactly. And so that's a warm moment for her, and I felt closer to her in those moments when we were laughing, even laughing about what we were laughing about last night when the fire and running out, running, get grandma out, you know, and this was months ago, but even then it's just like, you know, finding those moments just to laugh about even situations before we were in that moment or in the moments before her death.
And just to clarify, the reason we weren't in the room with mom is because hospice had recommended that
peaceful.
In their experience, if the family is around, they'll hang on longer mm-hmm. because they don't want to leave and they're afraid to die in front of their family.
But everybody, a lot of us had our moments. That was what Friday night was about the night before.
A watch pot never boils.
Right. But everybody got to individually go in and have their time with her. So those things happened. And then you and I slept in the room with her the night before. Mm-hmm. I was on the floor next to her bed.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, don't feel guilty about
it. Was only,
laughing.
It was
because you're going to be overwhelmed with grief, and it really can just. It could just throw you.
Yeah.
But the laughter kind of brings you back to reality, and it kind of... It
eases it a little bit.
Makes you feel better. Yeah. And I think it helps you get through the grief. Mm-hmm. Not faster, but get through it where it's... I don't know.
It's almost your restart button. It's your restart button when you just need a minute to reset.
And I don't think it's disrespectful at all.
I don't
at all.
I mean, obviously,
that's our opinion. Other people may think so, but
no. I think we're in it, and we know what grandma liked and who she was. I wouldn't go to a friend who had just lost somebody and immediately start making jokes. Obviously,
like no, that's, everything's that's about insensitive. Timing,
everything's
sure.
about timing. Everything's about. And you know, the laugh people that you're with, and
there has just, been sad moments like that during. Live with mom and stuff, and we have done that, so mm-hmm. mom knew that,
yeah,
and she would laugh with us, so she got it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like we were just disrespecting her, like it didn't matter. Well, thank you guys, it's been a pleasure. We will do this again soon.
Yeah,
I'm gonna find another subject. What we need to do for I was thinking about doing this for New Year's
would be good.
The show would be for New Year's is to make predictions what we think the next year is going to be.
I think Giselle will get married.
There you go.
All right. We'll catch you next time on Sherapy.
Adios, muchachas.
Bye.